Caution. This podcast is designed for mature audiences. We delve into topics surrounding sexuality and intimate relationships in a candid and open manner. Please note that we are not licensed marriage or sex therapists, and the content shared here is intended solely for entertainment and informational purposes. If you are under 18 years old or prefer not to engage in explicit discussions about sex, relationships, or mature language, we advise against proceeding further. However, if you're of legal age and comfortable with such content, feel free to settle in, grab a beverage, and enjoy this episode. Just remember, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, and the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, where every episode is a journey of discovery, liberation, and endless possibility. Join your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine, as they peel back the layers of convention, inviting you into a world where passion knows no boundaries. Beyond Monogamy, a podcast that transcends the traditional norms of relationships to uncover the raw, unfiltered stories about the lifestyle. And now, your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine.
Well, we got one person who's on the road. They may join us, they may not. We got Barbie hanging around. We got Roger, who's been driving around all day. I don't know if he's going to come in or not, but we will get started with the second episode, season three, Beyond Monogamy. Hi, I am Janet Valentine, and this is Beyond Monogamy, the podcast.
I'm Barbie Triple E.
And I'm Steve, the professor.
Steve sounds far away because he's driving. We're going to see if he can concentrate or not. As always, this is not scripted. Welcome to all you flies on the wall who want to listen to our conversation. We got a current lifestyler. We got a couple of retired lifestylers. I jump back in every once in a while. I'm trying to figure out if I should go to a party the end of February because I did have surgery, and I'm trying to figure out, do I want to admit to the people that I'm going to go in and try to fuck, whether or not I should say to them, hey, I've had surgery, so these are the positions that are available.
make a list. Yeah, yes. Maybe make a little diagram. Now, if you're okay with doing this, let's go.
Right. If you're okay with this way and with this way.
I have these limitations. Yes.
It's weird. I kind of wish that they had, that this party had adopted the whiteboard, so I could go into the whiteboard and say, Janet is, this way only.
Recovering, yes. She's recovering. Yes. Right. Oh, every party should have a whiteboard. I don't, maybe we should remind the listeners if they don't know about that, because that, I think every party should have one. And how did you even come up with that idea?
I think it was a long time ago. We had been hosting parties on a regular basis, probably once a month. We were throwing some good parties, and it got to where I don't like to have time wasted. You will go to these other parties and you will go in and they'll say, okay, everybody needs to meet at 7 o'clock in the dining room, and then let's all sit around and introduce ourselves and tell us one thing about ourselves or whatever. Well, that's bullshit. Okay, I don't have the time to do this. I don't want to play kumbaya stuff. This is not romper room time. And I did not want to have time to waste that. And the thing is that we were cleaning out an office, and we were moving an office to another office. And we were in a business consulting stuff. And this guy, this business consultant said, you can have this whiteboard. And we're like, really? And he said, yeah. So we took this whiteboard home and we put the whiteboard up in our dining room. Okay, only for parties. We put it in the basement when we weren't using it or whatever. And, if anybody asked what it was, I said, oh, I used it for work or whatever. But I would bring out the whiteboard for every swingers party that we had. And then what I would do is I would write the name of people that I knew had said they were coming. Okay. And then I would try to think about one thing that somebody would want to know about them. Okay. So that, for instance, okay, Roger's wife, Dee, who comes on the show sometimes or not, she does not do kissy kissy. Okay. She doesn't want to be kissed. She doesn't like it. That doesn't mean she doesn't want to be played with. It just means no lip locking. Okay. So I just put Dee, and I put a certain color, and I made sure that her color matched Roger's. So you knew that Roger and her were connected. and said, this is D, this is what she likes. Okay. And so, like, I would put up things like, Big Dick Donnie. Big Dick Donnie loves to be bit. Okay. He loves to have teeth. And he likes to have teeth done. So it's like, okay. So we put all those things up there. And I think on Barbie, I was like, not so much licky licky, give me the dicky dicky. And then people thought that was really funny. Right?
That's right.
Mine, it said stuff like, in the middle of when she's almost ready and she's almost ready to go, pinch her tits and she'll come, pinch her nipples and she'll go. Okay. Those things are great. Okay. So those hints are up there. That's the whiteboard. And what I'm saying is I go to other people's parties and you don't want to tell them how to have the parties, and especially this particular lady that's hosting the parties now. I mean, she has great parties. This woman knows how to put it on. She's got little bottles of water in every room. Every bathroom has got stacks of washcloth, douche stuff, clean your teeth, mouthwash stuff. You know, it's just wonderful little Tic Tacs are in there, that bathroom. And then every room has washcloths right next to the bed. It has a chair that'll be pulled up with towels and washcloths and stuff so that you are ready to play. She's thought of everything. The only thing that's not there is the whiteboard. So yeah. If she's listening, so yeah, at some point you might want to put a whiteboard up so that I can just come in and sign my name to say I'm there and then put whatever it is that my issue is. And this particular time is, you know, hey, I had my knee operated on, and so I'm not going to be able to do doggy style tonight.
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
Exactly. Right. So what do we know? Steve, can you talk? Did you have a party last weekend?
Oh, yes. No, ours is this coming weekend.
Valentine's Day.
Nice.
And are you prepping anything special? Are you going to do a Valentine Day cake for splashing?
You know, I had not thought about that. Oh. That might be a great idea. That would probably be a fun idea to have. We have
look up on YouTube how couples to take a sheet cake and make it a heart and then just make it a splosh.
Yeah. That's make the right color, though.
So, oh, yeah. For sure.
That's always tricky. That is always
tricky. I think white icing with sparkles, right? With little Valentine's Day things or hearts.
Yeah.
You can lick the hearts out. You can lick the hearts out of the icing.
Ooh.
Oh, and they sell those dirty Valentine hearts, message hearts, you know?
Yes. That's a great idea. We'll have to do
maybe that. You can go old school. Barbie, you got anything you want to talk about? Or do you want me to go on with what I asked Grok? Because I'm learning to use AI to help me with my topics about what to discuss. Okay.
I love it. Please bring one on. Yes. Mine's kind of boring. So
I decided to, this is a lesson in learning to use AI. Okay, so I have Grok on my phone, and I decided this was last week when I was trying to figure out a topic for the first episode, and I said, give me some sex stories. Okay, well, it gives me three short, self-contained, erotic stories with different moods and settings. Pick whichever vibe you were feeling tonight. And so it tells you a sex story about the late train, and I mean, it's like romance novels with hot stuff. Okay.
Oh, so they're not talking about the same kind of train we're thinking of.
No. Okay. So they're talking like romantic train. They're on the train and they're going to go under the tunnel, and she sees him and she guides him in and she, you know, jumps on and stuff. And so I was
guide
like,
you into my tunnel.
Like the next one is hotel room service. And I was thinking, okay, these are pretty good. If I wanted to get off, I would probably, if I wanted to go in the romantic world, sure, I would go in here. And the next one's called The Cabin, and it's rough and primal, okay, is the cabin one. So Grok came up with those, and they were pretty good reading. And so then I said, okay, I need to get better at telling Grok what it is that I want. So I plugged in real sex phenomena, okay?
Ah, good prompt.
Right. So good prompt, right? So Grok comes out and says, here are some real documented sexual phenomena that science has studied and confirmed, often surprising, rare, or counterintuitive. These aren't myths or fiction. They're backed by medical case reports, studies, and clinical observations. And so the first one is periorgasmic phenomena, which is weird stuff happening around orgasm. A 2025 study surveyed women who experienced unusual physical or emotional reactions tied to climax. The most common was crying. 63% of the respondents were crying, followed by sadness, even after great sex, laughter. We know somebody who would laugh all the time. Sneezing. Nosebleeds, bleeds, hallucinations, or panic-like feelings. These hit more often during partnered sex than solo sex. Researchers call them periorgasmic episodes, real but uncommon side effects of the massive neurochemical surge at orgasm.
Have you ever heard that one? I didn't know it had a name, but I have cried after like major intense sex. I have.
Yeah, I think I've cried. I had a guy that was Catholic that when we first started out, and it was me and my first husband, and we were just hooking up with other guys to, you know, have threesomes and let the first husband watch and all that other stuff. This guy was going through a divorce. And so he was somebody that we knew and met in a business world, and I took him back to the hotel room and I blew him. And as he came, he started bawling. And I mean, like crying, like crazy cry. Okay. And I was like, what the hell is going on?
What did I break?
Basically, like, he's like, I was told this was wrong. I looked at him and I said, you're Catholic, aren't you?
And he carried it well into adulthood.
Oh,
around the line.
Oh. crying. Well, I don't know about the hallucinations. I mean, I think there probably is something else involved if there's some hallucinations happening, you know.
Right. Who am I to tell? So, the next one is the sexual synesthesia, orgasms that literally paint the world in color. In people with this form of synesthesia, about 4% of the folks have synesthesia overall. Orgasm triggers vivid visual hallucinations like washes of stained glass colors, zebra patterns, exploding mandalas, or being shot into a starry sky. It's documented in case studies and feels intensely real to those who have it, with sensations building from pinpricks of light to full chaotic visuals and roaring sounds.
I think I'm missing out. I think I want that.
I want to see colors.
I do too. That's right. I want to hear color. I want to try that. I think that'd be fantastic. Especially, ooh, it starts out low and gets vivid. Wow. 4%. I'm saying that's high. I can't imagine 4% of the population. But
wouldn't it be cool? And
it'd be great.
What do you say to your partner? Do they think you're on LSD?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The first time it happened, did you say, whoa, did you see that? Wasn't that a rush?
Right.
I didn't see anything. My eyes were closed.
The third one is post-orgasmic illness syndrome. Ooh. A rare but verified condition, mostly in men, where ejaculation triggers flu-like symptoms within minutes to hours. Extreme fatigue, brain fog, muscle weakness, headache, sore throat, irritability, or allergy-like reactions. Symptoms last 2 to 7 days and resolve on their own. It's thought to be an autoimmune or hypersensitivity related. Some cases improve with hormone treatments like HCG when testosterone is low.
Holy cow. Those poor guys. Suck. Yeah, those poor guys. Man. That'd be terrible. feel like you have the flu every time you play around,
you'd have to wait 7 days to recover. Oh my
God. And you're achy and feel like, you know what? Those are the folks that probably don't fucking, or they just said, I'm not doing it. I don't want to feel bad.
And what do you, how do you tell that to your doctor? You know, how does that get diagnosed is what I'm saying.
Good question.
Right? Because unless it happens like instantly and all of a sudden the person sneezing or flu or whatever, but it's like, how do you...
And how to, like, every time I have sex, I have these symptoms afterward.
Right. Hmm. I get sick, right? I get sick after sex. Hey, Doc, can you help me out? I get sick after sex. Okay.
Yeah. So stop having sex.
Let's see. Persistent genital arousal disorder, PGAD. This is the opposite problem. Unwanted, relentless genital arousal. Throbbing, tingling, swelling, wetness, or spontaneous contractions that last hours to days, and it isn't tied to desire, and often it isn't relieved or only temporarily by orgasm. It can feel torturous, more irritation, pain than pleasure, and is linked to pelvic nerve issues, medications, or pelvic floor hypertonicity. It affects women mostly, but occurs in men too, like a priapism equivalent.
Sounds terrible. I'm so sorry for these people.
It reminds me of the joke where the guy walks into the pharmacy. These two sisters run this pharmacy, and the guy comes up and says, I need to talk to the pharmacist. I need to talk to the male pharmacist. And the one sister says, I'm sorry, there's not a male pharmacist here. It's just me and my sister. And he goes, okay, you'll have to do. And he says, I have a consistent hard on. It won't go away. What can you give me for it? And she goes, hang on a minute, let me talk to my sister. And so she walks in the back, and then she comes back out, and she goes, we've decided we can give you $10,000 now and 50% of the store.
All right, don't get your panties in a wad. We will be right back after this commercial break. Wait, who's wearing panties?
Introducing Coconut Slickums, the ultimate personal lubricant that brings a touch of tropical paradise to your most adventurous sex party moments. Made from 100% pure coconut oil, Coconut Slickums offers a silky smooth glide that's as natural as a unicorn breeze practicing the rule of 6 or DP. No more worrying about synthetic ingredients or greasy residues. Just a luscious moisturizing experience that feels as good as it sounds. Perfect for enhancing intimacy or just adding a bit of luxurious fun to your day. So go ahead, indulge in the tropical treat your skin deserves with Coconut Slickums. Because when it's this smooth, it's always a perfect day at the meet and greet. To learn more, visit beyondmonogamypodcast.com.
Now that we're all commando, let's get back to the show.
It's a consistent hard-on. They're going to pay him money. It's a joke. Oh, my gosh. I'm having to explain it to Marty. Where is Roger when I need him to listen to my stupid jokes?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was just thinking too hard.
They're like, well, we decided to give you half the store.
That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Okay. Core orgasms. Now, I know that there are some people out there that really try for these. These are exercise-induced orgasms. Some people, more often women, experience full orgasms from core strengthening exercises. God. Like
don't
sit-ups,
I wish.
Leg lifts, or certain yoga poses.
Don't I wish.
No genital touch is required. And it's tied to tension in the abdominal pelvic muscles stimulating nearby nerves. Studies confirm that it's a real physiological crossover.
I'm happy for them. That would make exercise so much better.
I would be exercising every day.
I'd have the flattest abs ever doing sit-ups. Are you kidding? What's she doing? She's not masturbating, but she breathes really funny when she's in there sitting up, doing her sit-ups.
Yeah, two more, and then we're gonna make Steve comment. Genetic sexual attraction. Okay. When close, this is the one that scares us. This is one that really bothers us. When close biological relatives, siblings, or parent-child, separated young, reunite as adults, they sometimes develop intense, overwhelming sexual attraction. Oh. Okay. This one, I don't want to even read or think about. Okay, because it is those black lines. Remember last time we talked about animals being the black lines? We yep. talk about incest being the black lines. So yep. we're just yep. going to skip past number six.
Yeah.
Because we're not into that. And then here is this number seven. It brings it up, and it's almost a repeat. Post-coital dysphoria, crying or sadness after sex. Even after consensual, enjoyable sex, some people feel sudden tears, irritability, or melancholy. It's called post-coital dysphoria and hits both men and women, possibly from the sharp drop in dopamine, oxytocin, after the high or unresolved emotional stuff surfacing.
I believe it.
I think Grok repeated itself with that one there. And then the other that incest one. One, I don't want to think about that one. So, but the other ones, well, I so think now, that's... Go ahead.
Question on incest.
Yes.
How far down the cousin line do you got to go for not to be incest?
That depends on if you're in Oklahoma or not, or Arkansas.
Oh, my God. No, really, though. Is it like a second cousin?
It says it's documented in adoption reunion cases. Okay. It's documented in adoption reunion cases and explained by the absence of a Westermark effect, the normal desensitization to family members raised together. I guess there's a Westermark. All of you medical people are like, she's butchering all these words. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read Brock. Yeah. It's rare, but real, and can be psychologically devastating. So, oh, I mean, what is it? Oedipus, oh, you know, this was, I'm sure that we yes. would have had, yes, the Oedipus effect.
I mean, obviously it's the Oedipus.
100%. Yes, and I know there's stuff that's been written on and whatever and all that other good stuff.
But you're right. I like the whatever. Moving on.
Right. I think I'm fascinated the most by all those, by the colors. I've never done that has seen colors, or if there's 4% of you all out there, sure, we'd love to hear from you if you have these kind of things.
I mean, 4%. I think that's kind of high. I want to know where these people are. I mean, how could we not have gone into them?
There's 4%. Been times when I've achieved something that's been close to seeing the colors. It's been, you know, it's because mind it's like the fifth blowing. Or the sixth orgasm in a way where it's just blowing me away. And that, like, when I if you go back and listen to the episode in season one or two of called The Clock, where I talked about the party in Paris where I had a lot of people, I think I saw colors then. Yes,
I think you did.
That's But that would be so cool if I saw colors all the time. I mean, I would be trying to forget partners. I'd be trying to do it myself and make me happy.
Well, I want the both. I want the being able to sit up to get the orgasm, do the sit-ups, and then when I have the orgasm, see the colors. Then
that would be awesome.
Woohoo! Maybe AI can design something like that for us. You never know.
The sex robot will.
Generation, you might be able to take a pill and have it happen. Right, that the pill will train you and transform you to do that.
Well, I think they already have that now. I think it's called mushrooms. But
mushrooms have BC colors. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
They help you hear colors.
Very true. Well, along these lines, I have a question for you.
Okay.
We were watching Chatterbait a while back, and this young girl, had a lush in her ass.
Oh, and for the tips?
For like the tips. Tip?
Yeah, and it vibrates.
Yeah, and then it starts it. But the thing was, is every time someone tips so many tokens, it would buzz her for so long.
Right.
Well, the more they tipped, the longer it buzzed. It looked like she was gooned out every time that it would take her minutes to sort of reset her brain. I'm going, at first I said, well, she's faking it. But then we've watched her several times and going, and she does it every time. I'm going, so is that a phenomenon too? Or, I mean, have you ever experienced anything like that, either of you?
Barbie did that for a while.
Oh, right? Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
Yeah. But do you have like a, does it feel like an orgasm or gorking out from a vibrating plug in your ass?
Never.
No.
No, that's just me, you know.
There are certain ways. There's also certain, like, if it's the fourth or fifth orgasm, it takes you like first to second one, you can get to it pretty quick. I'm very long between the second and third, but when you hit that third one, ooh, that's a hard, hot one. Okay. And I think that if you got me to that point and then to four and five and six, I do believe that I would be almost passing out. Yes. And then have to just figure out. I mean, I would be in it. It is almost surreal. It does take you another place.
Yeah.
I've done that with a lady.
Right.
Now, when I come, mine will be like bang, 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 bang. So I'll get them like, ooh, once I get one, then it'll go jing, 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 jing. And then I got to take a break. I got to take a break. I mean, but they just kind of hit. Like once that clip thing is all stimulated and going, once it get it one time, and it's coming again and again and again.
Yeah. I will get to a point where I will scream for a dick. Definitely. And just say, okay, enough of this clip. I need some entry. It's almost like a relief. Okay. So yes, I would like to have a dick in here to kind of bring me back down.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no longer direct stimulation to your clit either. So yeah, that is, I understand why it would be a break.
Yes. Yes.
Well, because you're rubbing on something else inside that's a different part of the sensation. Uh-huh. And so you get to, it's still pleasurable, but it's like, so yeah, I will scream at that point. I have gotten to a point where I will scream for a dick. Yeah.
Bring me a dick. Somebody. Anybody.
I have been known to do that. So anyway. Well, I just, I think I'm learning to play with AI and learning to ask different questions and trying to get answers from it. That was interesting to me. It was real sexual phenomena. So
that's a good one. I'll have to try that because I do have a couple subscriptions to some AI sites. I'll have to try that and see what they say and give it a little comparison. Yeah. I did read an article that I found kind of fascinating. And I didn't write down where I got it. And it was like 2 weeks ago. So I apologize in advance. But it was on the overall satisfaction rate of monogamous and non-monogamous couples. Like their general overall sexual and life satisfaction rate. Okay. I just thought, it said it was a large meta-analysis. And it said there were no measurable differences in relationship or sexual satisfaction. I found that amazing. It said now, some of the studies noted that non-monogamous couples had an advantage, or they would mark higher satisfaction rate, and then they always wrote a higher orgasm rate than the monogamous couples. But in the area of personal satisfactions and low level of jealousy and enjoyment and fulfillment of fantasies, they said they were about the same. That just kind of surprised me. I don't know why. I just thought, I guess because I'm skewed, you know, I think that being in the lifestyle has been an advantage. You know, I really do, because for me, it has been. Once you're free of jealousy and, I mean, once you're free of that and you just know that life is just about living and experiencing it and having a good time, and you make lifelong friends and you just have relationships with people that are just so meaningful. So to find out that people, you know, and then the fantasies, I mean, gosh, we've lived them out. We've actually done them. Oh, and I think.
Right. But in the case of when your fantasy becomes real, sometimes you realize it wasn't a good fantasy.
Good point. Good point.
We've had that discussion too, saying be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you do it. Because I was sitting there thinking, I was contemplating, okay, Maybe I should ask you guys the question of what is your least favorite sexual position? You know, we always ask, what's your favorite sexual position? What is your least favorite sexual position? And my answer was going to be one of two things. And it was going to be either a DP, double penetration, or it was going to be a 69. And the reason is because it looks really good in the movies, but when you go to actually do it, you got to have the right size dicks. You got to have the right size attitude, and everybody's got to be in the motion at the same time. And you got to have everybody focus. Okay.
And it doesn't work. I mean, it really, you can't get the rhythm right. It's not like the movies. It's just,
And for me, everybody's like, you don't like a 69. Why don't you like a 69? Because I am a focused person. I don't like to think about, I got to think about what I'm doing to him and then he's doing to me. If I got to worry about, am I going to fart on him? Am I going to, you know, sit on him? Whatever. I'm so worried about stuff going wrong that I can't really concentrate and make it. Whereas if I sit down and just give the guy a blowjob straight and don't have to worry about whether or not my ass is hanging out over his face doing abnormal things, then I'm a much happier person.
Yeah. Not nearly as self-conscious. I agree with you 100% there. Yes. And also, you know, I'm super tall. So anybody I was doing a 69 with, I'm like, hello, your dick is clear over here. No wonder I have a bad neck. I can't reach you. I can't reach you. I can suck your knee. Your knee.
And then there's stuff that, like, Fabio and I will be watching TV or seeing a situation where they'll be like, so-and-so cheated on something, like Tiger Woods having 8 girlfriends or whatever. We'd be like, hey, lifestyle would have fixed that. Okay. That's we will turn to each other and say, lifestyle would have fixed that. But then when I think about my own experience, I've been married twice. And the first marriage, we got into the lifestyle and it was not fixed. It was worsened by the lifestyle. Because the lifestyle can make a good relationship better. It can make a bad relationship get worse quick. And that's what it did. Because it was all about control and all about jealousy and all about, you never did this with me. Why would you do that with me? And so on and so forth. Steve said he had to head out, so he's going to be coming in next time hot with other sex words and stuff to talk about. But so he apologizes for having to finish it.
He'll have party stories too.
Yes, he will have a party story next time. But I think so. My first marriage, the lifestyle didn't really help it, headed it to disaster faster. And the second marriage is so strong because of the lifestyle. He's going to try to come back in.
Ooh,
he's going to try to come back in. We'll see if he makes it back in.
Yeah, agree.
All right.
Okay.
Let's give him the floor while he's here.
Right.
For what?
Well, what we're getting ready to wrap up, but so okay. is there a difference between couples in the lifestyle and couples who are not in the lifestyle? This article says there is no difference, especially in terms of orgasm or in terms of happiness. But I'm really happy with Fabio.
Yep. As you both know, Elle and I've been married forever, and it's just a wonderful thing. It has been for all the years we've been married. But there again, to me, the lifestyle is like, and I've said this before, it's like a toy. Take it down off the shelf, play with it, put it back up on the shelf. So, you know, that's how I view it. Do I notice it? Sex with Elle is phenomenal every time. It's just one of those things. But there again, and you'd think a lot of people say, well, we've been doing this for decades. It gets old, gets stale, whatever, but it doesn't. You know, well, or you're used to this, or you're used to that person. And it's not that way. You know, it's still the best blowjob I've ever had. Still the best sex I've ever had, you know. Mm-hmm. And as we know, and I'm not discounting any lady out there who I have played with. There's only been one woman one lady that was the lamest fuck I've ever had, and I'd never do it again. Other than that, you know, so, but yet, but L is the, is the Mount Everest for me. So that's, so, but there again, we're in the lifestyle too. So
I think it is a strong relationship. I love the trust. I love the friends that we get. But like, I also, we were sitting last week at a bar in our new community where we are. And Fabio says, look over at that couple. And I was like, okay. And he goes, I know that they're on SDC. And he goes, I'll show you their picture later. He goes, their picture is a lot different than what they're looking like now. And he said, it's a lot younger and a lot sexier and a lot of pounds, whatever. And he goes, but they're on SDC. And for all of you flies on the wall who don't know, SDC is one of the lifestyle websites where you meet other couples, you know, and they have their profiles up and so on and so forth. And I said to him, this is why I don't want to list that we are on SDC and let them know that we're on this location. And this is why I'm kind of glad that I'm not in the lifestyle now actively in my area, because I have no desire to do either one of them. Okay. No desire. Okay. Because people make this assumption that because you're in the lifestyle and you're at this party, it means that you want to fuck them.
Yes.
And you don't.
No.
Right.
People do make that assumption. If you're there,
and
you're.
So I'm bad about saying no to them. Fabio's much better at it. He doesn't care. And they'll be just like, nah, I'm not interested. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know, let some of the people know who are listening that have told me they're listening that I'm not interested in them, because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Right. But I'm just gotten pickier or whatever. But I'm with you. Fabio is home base for me. And there's nothing hotter than review sex.
That's right.
You talk about things that you did with somebody.
And relive it. Oh, it's so hot. Yes. Oh, and still reliving it. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think that we're done for today. For all of you flies on the wall, if you have comments that you like to talk to us, reach out to us. We have a website, beyondmonogamypodcast.com. Smash it all together, spell it correctly, beyondmonogamypodcast.com. You'll get, you can email me there, thejanetvalentine @gmail.com. And then I think Roger's email is also up there, his little button. And I think it's spitroastwithus@gmail.com. There's also a place for you to tip Mandingo, because he's back in the saddle again too, and is also the great producer that is responsible for all those great little commercials and fun stuff and the entry and exit to this. And someday we'll get him to join us and talk about his life, because he just dabbles a little bit. He's not really in the lifestyle, but he loves listening to all of us. But for all you flies on the wall, I'm really happy that you joined us today, and I hope that you continue to come back. And because I really do want you to come again.
That's it for this episode of Beyond Monogamy. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode of Beyond Monogamy.